What was your most, when you were growing up, one of your most memorable moments, one of the things you can remember dealing with the church?
I don't know if I have a memorable moment just going. We never did, the kids and children and young people never did have any audible part. We were just spectators.
What about when
The funny things, like a typical boy would remember things, funny things that happened at church. Somebody said something or some incident, but as far as my participation, there was none.
What about once you taught at the seminary, and I know you were our interim pastor at the Baptist Church for a while. Can you remember anything?
In my years along the way, there have been several things that stand out. I'd be hard pressed to name one. Just the fact of being able to be in a classroom. I never taught a class I didn't like. I'd rather teach than eat.
Yes.
My method or my procedure was not the usual. Jerome Bruner of Harvard University influenced my teaching a whole bunch. I don't know whether you're acquainted with him or not, but he and B.F. Skinner were colleagues or contemporaries at Harvard. B.F. Skinner was an educational psychologist who went overboard in programmed instruction. Learning was mechanical. Emphasized the content mastery. Jerome Bruner was just the opposite. He formulated a model of teaching or model of learning which he called the discovery model, which it was, I guess, an outgrowth or a kissing cousin to John Dewey in his problem-solving approach to learning. I don't know whether that'd be true or not, but it's what the student discovers for himself. In other words, Bruner's approach was that learning is much more than mastery of facts, figures, dates, content. That's just one aspect of it, and perhaps the first step on the learning ladder. How one reacts to the facts or what one thinks about the content is as important as what one memorizes, or maybe more so. Bruner, as I said, influenced me. We became friends and corresponded through the years. He was Jewish and I Baptist, and he often wondered, he'd say, "I can't understand why a Jew has anything to contribute to the Baptist." But he made a difference in my approach to learning. I had a great respect for the man, had a wonderful, wonderful mind. But just the joy of being able to teach, I guess if you ask me to sum up what is the chief joy of teaching, I could say it something like this. The hum of a girl or the whistle of a boy after going down the hall after asking me the way. They have a great influence on students, particularly college students, because so many of them haven't made their choice of life's companion or life's work. Now, that's not true at a graduate school. Their minds are pretty set in concrete, and I've often said in jest that all we're able to do is to assault some prejudices. And I've explained the difference in college, university level teaching. University level, boys, let's march on Washington. They'd be gone 2 miles ahead of you while you tied your shoes. You say that to the seminary, and they'd Washington, Washington. What's Let me see, what does Bart think about it? What does Tillich think about it? What does somebody else think about it? It's a different ball game when you're teaching graduate school.
Well, I know when you were our interim pastor, what you just said is so true, because I remember the one particular sermon, the one about about values in the home, when you preached on that, and I mean we talked about that the whole day when we came home, how we all felt the same way.
John, I have no recollection of that. I'm sure I preached on that, but I don't remember it.
I mean, you've probably done so many of it now. But kind of a wrap up question. If you had to change one thing today with religion, the ministry, the church, what do you think it would be and why?
I would think that organized religion, well, let me back up. Religion and Christianity are not the same thing. Mohammedism is a religion. Hinduism is religion. Christianity is a religion. But to make Christianity, and this is my bailiwick, synonymous with religion is a falsehood. The Old Testament is a religion. The New Testament is Christianity. The problem that we've had since the beginning of the Christian era is the danger of institutionalizing the Christian faith. It cannot be institutionalized. And a lot of our church work is just playing religion, playing church. And sometimes I think very little of it has to do with real Christianity. Our churches are becoming microcosms of the federal government. It's so organized, so structured, so institutionalized. This is where we missed the boat in the 60s. If the churches had been contemporary and relevant, I doubt if we'd have had much of a cultural revolution as we had in the 60s. You see, Christianity is 2,000 years old, but we have not yet been able to keep up in developing character as we have in advancement of scientific discoveries, advances in art, and all of these other things. We lag behind. I do not know the answer to that, but we've got to get some redirection. Our major Protestant denominations, the older ones, are on the decline, and I think Southern Baptists have reached their plateau. I think you'll see in your lifetime a decline of Southern Baptists. This is a historical truism. There's been no exception to it. I do not know the answer. I wish I did. But going to church does not make one a Christian any more than parking your car on your patio, make your patio a garage.
Yes.
And here's something it's hard to extricate the institutional church from the vitality of the Christian faith. I don't know how to do this. I'm a philosopher. All I can do is sort of sit around and ponder it.
Okay.
That's the value of being in my field. You don't have to have answers. All you do is got to raise questions. But I don't know. Some of the best people I've ever known go to church every Sunday, best Christians. Some of the worst ones I've ever known go to church every Sunday too. Now, I believe in church attendance, but I don't believe it ought to be a substitute for the dynamic of living the Christian faith day by day in every relationship. And this is where we need to do something to get people to practice what they already know. Think, for example, what would happen if our Baptist people decided they'd live the truth they heard on Sunday? What a difference that'd make. I know more Bible than I live. You know more Bible. Most everybody knows more Bible than he lives. So here's our problem: getting the truth into action. How we do it, I don't know. Nowadays, too many relegate to their Christian faith to sort of a back burner, bring it to the front burner when there's a problem or a disappointment or a crisis or a death or sorrow or something. But Jesus taught us to be used every day in every situation. I think he taught that. If he didn't, I've misread him.
Yes.
Christianity is not a set of rules. It's a dynamic. And I've always said, and I know this is idealistic and probably beyond our reach, some utopian idea, but I've always said that Christianity is spread more by contagion than it is by organization and propaganda. In other words, if you see Joe Blow out here, who's a real Christian, and he lives what we're taught in the New Testament, he has something in his life that is attractive, and that will automatically make you want to get into this. But the tragedy is, we see Joe Blow out here who claims to be a Christian, and you don't see much difference in Joe Blow than John Cotton.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a tragedy of the whole thing. But I still believe that Christianity is spread more by contagion. One of the writers in the New Testament said we are to adorn the gospel, and that word adorn means to make it attractive. Well, most people I've known along the way make it unattractive.
Yes.
You're not supposed to do this, you're not supposed to do that, don't do. That's it, pure and simple, Old Testament. Right out of the Levitical law. Jesus put the emphasis on the internal and the inside, and we put it on the outside, the external. I heard a preacher say one time, I guess I've heard as much preaching as any man alive, don't remember more than 1% of what I've heard, wasn't worth remembering, excuse me. But I heard a man say one time, he said, you say a Christian is not supposed to drink, and not supposed to use drugs. And he had about five things there, don'ts. And the guy said, okay, fine. A fence post doesn't do any of those things either. What are you supposed to be?
Yes.
And I'm not condoning that. I'm just trying to use that as a as an illustration. Where are our Mother Teresa's? Mm-hmm. Is really what I'm saying. I'd like to meet that woman. There's a medical Baptist missionary doctor in India, Bangalore, the only Baptist witness in that city of millions. She was first in her class in medical school 25 years ago when a woman in medical school was an oddity. She graduated first. She's a surgeon. No doubt she could be at Mayo or Ochsner's Clinic in New Orleans or the cancer place in Houston. But she planted her life in India. And I find myself, where are these people? Why we just have a few like that?
This concludes my interview with Dr. Leon Marsh.